The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters in stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what is fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. I'm just going to pray for Chris before he comes and speaks to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that Spirit will be with Chris as he speaks to us, that he will have been with him in preparation, and pray that you will speak through him to us. Amen.
Good morning, and welcome to the last in the series that we've been preaching through on the Holy Spirit. And this one, if you can read it between all the footprints, is the Holy Spirit on our front lines, living and walking in the Spirit. And to some extent, this, I think, will be a little bit of a summary of some of the things that have been said. But I pray, too, that it might bring a challenge to us as to how we relate to God the Holy Spirit. Just before I go into actually how we're going to go through this, what I did want to do is to answer a couple of questions that have come up about activities that we are planning. So we are planning to arrange the survey results to be available for you to look at from the first week of June. That may be news to Candy, so I'll let her know afterwards. But I've put that up in good faith that by the week after half term, we'll have the survey results. So anyone who's a church member will be able to see all of the survey results. We're also hoping on the 24th of June, Sunday evening, to have a question and answer session. From the house group studies, a number of questions have come up, and it seems good that we should actually have time as a church to talk about those questions. If you've got any other questions, perhaps you haven't been to house groups, or things you've heard in the services about the Holy Spirit that you would like to raise or you'd like answered, please do come and let us know. Let me know, and we'll make sure those questions are included that day. And then finally, just to let you know, we haven't got an exact date for this yet, but I'm hoping around the end of September, we will run another one. We've done it before, a half-day workshop, where we actually spend some time with individuals discovering spiritual gifts and helping people to identify what their spiritual gifts are. So that gives you a flavour, and those are actions that some people are asking about. Why haven't we said what's going on yet? That's to tell you what's planned, and that lies ahead. Obviously, the 24th of June is a good date, and hopefully by then we can give the date of the seminar on discovering spiritual gifts as well. But today I want to talk about being born of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, physical death and the Spirit, that seems a strange one perhaps, and then going on being filled with the Spirit. And this hopefully pulls together some of the things that we've been actually looking at. When we were talking with a number of the house group leaders, and we were talking about the series on the Holy Spirit, one of them said, I think the most important thing you need to teach about the Holy Spirit, the most important thing the Holy Spirit does, is to actually bring us into new birth, to bring us to be Christians. Salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. And I think that is absolutely right. To be born of the Spirit is the most important thing the Holy Spirit does. Of course, the gifts are important. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit is important. But the most important thing is that unless the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, we are not a Christian. And if he does, we are. And so I thought we would have a look. All of our reading is from 2 Corinthians. And if you've got the Bibles in front of you, page 1159. And the first verse I'm going to pick out is actually in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. In fact, I'm just going to read it actually from verse 20. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and reading from verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken to us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It is God's work, God's initiative by which we are saved. God the Father leads us to know God the Son, who died for us and rose again, and anoints us with the Holy Spirit. And anointing, of course, is a picture, not one that we use very much these days, but anointing is what they did to kings and to priests. And so one of the things when we say, well, God's anointed us with the Holy Spirit, what's being said here is that God has got a job for everyone who's a Christian. And we're anointed to do that job. He's anointed us. And he set his seal of ownership on us. Now, this is, I don't know if you saw the clip a couple of weeks ago when Andy Diamond, and it said the seal of the Lord. And he went, ooh, 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 like this and clapped his flippers together. And they said, no, not that sort of seal. And we're thinking of the sort of seal we don't see these days, where you get some wax and a stamp goes onto that wax. And when we are born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit sets the seal of God's ownership on us. We belong to God. Sometimes we sing that song, now I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me. And the Holy Spirit is the evidence, the stamp in our lives that we belong to Jesus. It is actually often to do with things like legal documents that you have these seals. So I must ask, Paul, do you have a seal? Do you ever use sealing wax these days? Have a stamp. So Paul, I think he's probably the only solicitor here today, and he has a stamp. The stamp that says, this is Paul Nettleship. And if you get that, you're probably in serious trouble, actually, because he's a human rights lawyer. So anyway, that's by the by. But the seal of ownership. And when we are born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit anoints us to work. He says we belong to God. And we have the Holy Spirit, as it says, in our hearts, as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come, a down payment. The Holy Spirit is given to us today throughout our whole lives, but because we're looking forward to the promise of what lies ahead. And we'll look at that a bit later on. So the first thing, when we think about on the front line, actually it's irrelevant unless we have the Holy Spirit who is already living in us because we have committed ourselves to follow Jesus. But if we look on a bit further into 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as was read to us, and verse 3, we read this. You are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, in the good old days, when if we go back to the early life of this church, 50, 60, 70 years ago, if new people came to the church, they would bring a letter from another church saying that they were welcome to join this church. They were called letters of commendation. But that habit has completely died out as far as I'm aware. We turned up here and no one checked on our credentials. So I have to assume any old Tom, Dick and Harry can get into this church now. And that's the way it is. But in fact, I think if Paul was writing this letter today, he wouldn't even talk about a letter because, I mean, people under 30 have probably never seen a letter. They don't know what it is. Probably couldn't write one if you asked them to do so. And our world is changing. So if we look at this, when it says you are a letter from Christ, I wonder what that means. So this is, I've thought of three pictures that I think will help us to understand this a bit better. I should just say, actually, that the reference here to writing on the human heart comes from Jeremiah and from Ezekiel, if you want to look at those. But we're not going to look at those today. And if you want copies of the slides to find these references, they're outside on the welcome desk, so you can get copies of these. Here are my three pictures. The first one, you just see it on there. I can't see it on my screen, but you can see a reference, okay? You're a reference, okay? Now, this is one of the things I never expected when I became church pastor. Do you know what I have to do? First of all, I sign passports for people. That's given me a real sense of, you know, I'm seriously significant in our country now. I can sign a passport, or at least a passport photo. And the other thing I do is I write references for people. And even though no one who I'm writing to knows who I am, they think because it says Pastor Chris Reveille, it's got some significance. And I hope it has. The important thing is if you write a reference, the person writing it's got to know about the person they're writing about. And what they are saying is actually saying that this is someone that you can trust. This is someone I can vouch for. And so I wonder if Paul, if he was writing 2 Corinthians today, might have said, you're like a reference. You're like a reference. People look at you and they can see, and in Paul's case, it was what he was doing as a missionary. They can see that this is reality. This is based on what Jesus has done. This is based on the Holy Spirit living within someone. Because that is being written onto their hearts and their life lives out like a reference for Jesus. The second one might be, this is definitely social media now, a review. I'm a booking.com genius, would you know? You're learning lots about me today. And that means that when I go and stay in a hotel or make a journey somewhere, I usually make a comment on what I think about it, good or bad, and I write this up. And that's other people read it. And if enough other people read your reference, you get to be a genius. And what I didn't know when I set off doing this is that the benefit of that is I get a discount now as well on bookings. So, I mean, that's even better. So I didn't know that when I set off. But again, maybe Paul says to us, look, when the Holy Spirit has changed you, when you're walking through life, people will look at you and they'll say, are you giving a good review or a bad review for Jesus Christ? Has the Spirit of God written on your heart a message which tells other people, like Jesus? Or is it actually that people look at you and think, oh, I wouldn't go there. I don't want anything to do with that at all. And actually, we are like a review which has been written by the Spirit of the living God. And the third one, an advert. And I wanted to say this. I think we are all walking adverts for the good news about Jesus Christ. It does say Spirit, not Sprite, in case you can't quite see it. I rather like that, actually. It appealed to me. But that's not really the point I'm making. I can remember on one occasion in a work context, and I've been working with someone for some while, and something came up, and they said, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. And I thought, what sort of advert was I then? And I can also remember another time when someone came into my room who worked for me and basically said, I know you're a Christian, so I need to tell you something. And then he burst into tears on me. This was a big, hunky, macho man who his marriage had broken up and he hadn't told anyone for 4 months. He'd been coming to work every day, not a clue, and he broke down. And in both those, I can see the chap who didn't know I was a Christian, I've been a bad advert for Jesus. The chap who did, clearly something there had spoken to him and he felt he could trust me because he knew I followed Jesus. And I think if we are walking in the Spirit, then whether we're good adverts or bad adverts, we are going to demonstrate Jesus, to be a reference for Jesus, to recommend Jesus to people around us. And so that's how the Holy Spirit can change our lives to right in us. And we need to let him do that because we are called to be walking adverts for Jesus. Here's another question for you. Are you competent to be a Christian? Are you competent to be a Christian? Well, all of us, in one sense, are learners. I see Dan is here, and one of your responsibilities, Dan, is to get people to get rid of their L plates. But all of us are learners. And, of course, we probably think the right answer to this question is very humble and holy, and is to say, oh, no, I'm not competent to be a Christian. But if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, we can see the answer is no, we're not competent, and yes, we are. Verse 5, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This word competence, 5 years ago, I think it was, maybe it was a bit longer, Lucy and I were on a fantastic holiday in Botswana, and we were flying in a very, very small plane. There was Lucy and me in the back, and there were two pilots in the front, and we were flying from a piece of grotty land to another piece of grotty land. There wasn't anything like a runway as such. And as we climbed in, the chap who was telling us about the flight was sitting in the, not the pilot's seat, next to them. He was nice and friendly and helpful. And then the chap who was flying us turned round, and the other chap said, here's Fred, he's going to be flying you. And Fred looked about 15 or 16 to us. And we clearly thought he was on, you know, youth experience or whatever. And there we were taking off and flying off into the land and then landing on this really rough landing strip somewhere else in Botswana. But, thank God, Fred was very competent. He might have looked 15 or 16, but he knew how to fly and he landed us. And he had the necessary ability and training. And I think this is an interesting thought when we think, are we competent to be a Christian? Because what Paul is saying is, look, we ourselves are not competent to represent God, to be a Christian. If we try and do that in our own strength, it'll go horribly wrong. But the Holy Spirit is given to us to give us life, to give us life at the beginning of when we become a Christian, but to give us life day by day, that as we live, as we work, as we go about our ordinary life, actually there is this source of divine life, which is available to us day by day. And of course, 2 weeks ago, we heard about the development of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives from Galatians 5. And last week, we heard about the toolbox of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit given to us to equip us to build up the church. And so the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to our daily living because actually we're not competent to be Christians. But yes, in his power, we are competent. He gives us all we need if we trust him and let him. He is the basis of our competence. And as the 2 Corinthians chapter goes on, we also come towards the end and we read this. I'm going to go back and look at the context in a second. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The first phrase I wanted to just pick up here was that we are being transformed into God's image. Transformed into God's image. We often preach in this church that we were created in the image of God. But there's also sometimes a confession we use in the church when we use this phrase, that we have marred God's image in us through our sin, through the way that we turn our backs on God. And here we have a promise that God not only has made us to be born again in the Spirit and living with us day by day, but he is going to transform us back into his perfect image. That promise is there. But what's all this thing about unveiled faces and reflecting glory? Well, there's a story in the Old Testament. It comes from Exodus chapter 34, which talks about Moses when he went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And when he comes down, having spent time in God's presence with those Ten Commandments, it says this. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When his brother Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw his face was radiant. Do you have a shiny face? Sometimes we would perhaps say, well, that's not a good thing to do, put powder on our face or whatever. But actually, if we spend time in the presence of God, actually we should radiate out that presence of God to those around. I have very occasionally met someone who quite clearly, when they were in the presence of God, had had such an encounter with God that you could look at their face and it was as though it was shining. Sometimes you see that. It's amazing if you do. But I wanted to pick up another thought here about this word, because the word in the Greek here for reflect in our version, in some other versions says contemplate or think about. And it's a word that's got both meanings. And I hope this picture below helps. Now, that's a series of office blocks in London, okay? There's no light coming out of those office blocks. There's no source of power. Yet right in the middle of the picture, we can see the sun reflected. And as that window pane is at the right angle looking at the sun, so when we take that photograph, we see right in the middle the bright light of the sun reflected. And this is something else about living for Christ day by day, living with the Holy Spirit on our front lines. That if and as we spend time with God, so the way that we live should reflect to people around who Jesus is, who our loving Heavenly Father is. And as they meet us, they should get some glimpse of the light. Now, all of us, especially me, especially today, who I've just upset someone by something stupid I said, we know how easy it is for us to tarnish that reflection. But at the same time, what we can do is we can spend time in God's presence. We can know his freedom. And if we know his freedom, then we can reflect his glory as we think about, contemplate him. And that is an amazing promise that's in front of us. And I think incredibly too, we've got this phrase that we're being transformed into the image of God with ever-increasing glory. We often speak to the young people in the church. I want to speak to those of you who are kind of 60 plus today. All the young ones are allowed to listen, that's fine, okay? But I think this is a real challenge for those of us that get to be my age, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time. Do we have a concept that God is changing us with ever-increasing glory? Or did our Christian life kind of plateau out at about 25 or 30, and we've been bumping along ever since? If the Holy Spirit lives in us, then actually his purpose is to change us with ever-increasing glory, making us more and more like Jesus day by day. And that's why I'm coming on to my last subject as we finish. Sometimes we talk about someone, it's an old-fashioned phrase, who's lived a life with the Lord Jesus, and then they die, we say they've been promoted to glory. Actually, they were well on the way. I'm just going to come to that at the end, just to say one other word which I forgot, transformed, the where we get metamorphosis. And the picture there of the changing the caterpillar to the butterfly might bless some people. Let's just think about, actually, two people. I put these pictures up because I don't think anyone here is related to any of them. But these are wonderful saints of this church who have died in the last year. John Chaplin and Christina Muir. And if you knew Christina, she was, and John, they were people who were praising God in their lives. And as they got older, looking on from the outside, the world would not have seen them as being people who were particularly special. They'd have said they were past their prime, perhaps. But if you knew them, actually you knew that because of the time they spent contemplating the Lord, so they reflected their Lord with ever-increasing glory. They were wonderful at doing that. And chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians tells us this. While we're in this tent, it means the body, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we're at home in this body, we're away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. I want to just take a bit of that. While what is mortal may be swallowed up, not by death, but by life. Not by death, but by life. And the one who has made us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When we think about death being swallowed up and mortality being swallowed up by life, we just need to rethink completely the way we look at this life. We put so much store on the 70 years and 10, or in the case of both John and Christina, the 90 years they had on earth, as though that was the real thing. But that was only the apprenticeship. That was the warm-up act. That was the qualifying round. And actually, that mortality is now swallowed up, and what it's swallowed up by is not death, but life. And that's how we need to think, that in this world, we are going through the apprenticeship, looking forward. A rather down-to-earth example that I know affects some of you today. In our legal system in this country, if you're buying a property, then at a certain point you exchange contracts, and about 10% usually of the money that you're going to pay for that property changes hands. And at that point, you are certain that the process is going to complete, but you don't have occupation of your house yet. That's usually about a month away. And here it tells us that the Spirit is given as a deposit to us, guaranteeing what is to come. So when we get born of the Spirit, when we become a Christian, we are certain that we will go to that eternal life that God has promised with Him. It's a certainty. We don't have it yet, but He's given us the down payment of His Holy Spirit, pointing us forward to the many mansions that are in His place where we will go to be with Him eventually. So physical death actually is something which we as Christians should not be fearful of. Of course, the dying process can be quite tough and difficult. And for many people around those that we love, it can be very sad. But as Christians, we have the assurance, the certainty of the Spirit, that full life comes ahead for us. So, to finish this series, let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's remind ourselves that last bit of the reading, we live by faith and not by sight. And that means that we're called to trust God day by day, and His Spirit helps us with that. We are walking adverts for Jesus, whether we like it or not. And what we want to be, I hope, is really good adverts for Him. We have a guarantee and the foretaste of eternal life. And so the way that we live day by day now should actually be setting us up as like we're training, preparing for what lies ahead. And we need to pray daily, please keep on filling me with your Holy Spirit. As I was lying in the bath last night, I thought, how am I going to end this? And I just watched Liverpool lose the Champions League, and heartbreaking it was too. What about those Liverpool supporters who'd made their way all sorts of ways at huge cost to get to Kiev? They were absolutely dedicated to their cause, and they did it. We'd also earlier in the week watched one of the New Tricks. You know, New Tricks are my favourite TV shows. It's about a bunch of old detectives fixing old cases. And again, what came through in that episode was that these were policemen who had no life outside what they were doing. They were dedicated to their job. Now, I'm not suggesting we should lose every aspect of other life or whatever, or necessarily that we should travel to Kiev to watch a football match. But what I am saying is they are two examples of people who are dedicated, who are committed. And with no disrespect to Liverpool or any other football team, what they're committed to is nowhere near as important as who we are committed to as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you at this point and say, please join me this week, maybe next week as well. Pray each day, Lord, at the beginning of the day, please keep filling me with your Holy Spirit. May I be as dedicated to you as you have been to me. May I know what really matters in this world. Amen. We're going to sing a song now. We'll have Deliverer first, please. We'll probably sing, I think there might be time for two, so we'll sing certainly this one. And this is picking up the verse that we had at the end of chapter 3, where it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if we've not been born of the Spirit yet, this is the offer that comes from God. Where His Spirit is, there is freedom. And that Holy Spirit in us can change us to be more and more like Jesus.